In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. It is highly regrettable each year that this feast comes that too many Catholics do not grasp the significance of today's great event. Even the fact that, I'm being recorded for this, but I'll say it anyways, the fact that the United States bishops of the Catholic Church of the United States have moved this feast day, a biblical feast, to Sunday, just shows really how the faithful have completely lost, including, I'm sorry to say, the bishops even make that decision. It's 40 days that our Lord ascended, and this is one of the most important events of salvation history. All the more sad is the superficial reading too many faithful give to today's epistle and gospel lessons. They often think, well, Jesus the Christ just departed into heaven, and that's it. He's gone. It's over. And now we're going to wait until he comes back again at the end of time. And that could not be further from the truth. If Jesus the Christ did simply depart from the world, and now we wait for his coming again, then it really does, in a way, render everything the Lord did and said into the past tense. It's over with, it's done with, and, well, we just go on with our lives. In a way, you could almost say the tomb has now has the stone back rolled over it, and everybody's looking at a dead person, in a way, waiting for him to come back, and so there's the great silence in the meantime. The unevangelized and nominal Catholic, therefore, after this feast day happens, if they're even aware of it, is that they go back to their normal and narrow-minded life. That's very centered on the temporal world, on mortality, and we're back to fulfilling our religious obligations and duties. The liturgy then becomes what, for all intents and purposes? It's really something dead. It's a bunch of symbolic actions that may or may not make you feel good. You like the music, you don't like the music. You like the incense, you don't like the incense. Oh, I really felt moved today by Father's homily. Oh, I like the painting of the icons in the church. But it's all empty. And all these celebrations we have throughout the entire year are simply commemorations of past historical events. So it's almost like singing the Star Spangled Banner on July 4th and getting maybe a little emotional at the rendition of it. But then it comes and goes. July 4th comes and goes, and we go back to our normal lives in this country. But such thinking and understanding could not be further from the truth of today's incredible, significant, important event of the Ascension. Today's feast is actually a decisive turning point in all of salvation history. Keep this in mind as I go into the homily. If you want to understand the drama of salvation history from the beginning to the end of time, it's a constant ascent and descent and ascent. Ascent and descent and ascent. And it's all through the liturgy. Today's feast, yes, is the ascent. It's marking something. However, as the liturgy today for Lee taking a Pascha, we're told something. Today's the end of something, but today's event is already pointing to something new. So yes, it's the end of one thing, but already a new door is opening. Something new is going to happen. And to understand the ascension merely as Christ's departure into the heavens makes possible only an external relationship with the Lord Jesus. But the ascension, something far more profound is happening. With the ascension, an entirely new relationship with the Lord begins. Yes, something totally different happened with the ascension. And in the aspect of faith, something completely different and new happened now with the gift of faith. And with the ascension, time itself is radically changed. Time itself is radically changed with the event of the ascension. Today is not just a past historical event. And it's just not one more thing our Lord did. No, the event today radically changed all of time and history. Today's event makes possible the heavenly liturgy. The heavenly liturgy. What we're doing on earth is a participation in the heavenly liturgy. And the heavenly liturgy becomes, as I mentioned on the Sunday of the Samaritan Woman, the heavenly liturgy has become a river. It's a font. It's a gushing river of life. And it's flooding the entire universe. Yes, the universe, just not us. It is affecting the entire cosmos. Since the earliest days of Christianity, the baptized faithful have deliberately set what we see here, the icon. They would paint this icon from the earliest days up in the domes of their churches. We have domes. We don't have spires in Gothic churches. We have domes with a reason, some purpose. Because in that dome was painted the icon of the ascension, and the dome, the shape of the dome, is coming down like an umbrella. And it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit, God. Doing what? Overshadowing his people. Just like he overshadowed the Blessed Mother. Just as he would come down and overshadow the cloud of the mountain of Sinai. And that's the presence of God. And so in our churches, there's the dome. And this is God coming down over his people. And so what's this symbolizing? What's this manifesting? The baptized faithful, when you and I are gathered here, and with all the icons in the church, all these holy men and women, it's envisioning on earth the liturgy in heaven. This is the body of Christ. This is the kingdom of heaven. And what else is happening in the liturgy then? We see throughout the liturgy both the presence then of Christ in the presence of the icons, the saints, in the presence of us who are here, but also at the same time we're looking east. And when the Eucharist is raised up, but it's the people waiting and longing for the return of Christ. So what is the liturgy? The liturgy is a celebration both of the presence and the returning of Christ all at once. In the liturgy, Christ is drawing to himself the body, his body, unto the Father. That's the symbolism of why we approach. The communion is not brought to you. You come forward to receive communion. Because what's the Lord doing? He's inviting you into his banquet, into his body. And as we're drawn into his body, then we are drawn into the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And at the same time, out of this liturgy flows the Holy Spirit. The pouring forth of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who makes all things new, who refashions all things. This is the liturgy. And that's why you have these various processions. You have the little entrance with the gospel book. You have the great entrance with the gifts. You have the communion procession. We have other processions. Why are we moving? I've said this in the past. Pews are a Protestant invention. In the liturgy, you didn't sit because you're always moving. There's the ascent and the descent and the ascent of Christ and the Spirit moving back and forth. And that's what the liturgy is, this constant dance going back and forth. And so the event of the ascension realizes, today we are realizing the ascent, but already, as the liturgy points out, is pointing us also to the descent of the Spirit. In his ascension, Jesus the Christ takes human nature, a redeemed, a restored, a refashioned human nature, and he takes it into the glory of the Father's life. But at the same time, when the Lord ascends, the Father sends his second greatest gift to the world, his own divine Spirit. And he pours that Spirit out. No, it's pouring out the Spirit. And he's making all things new. So on the day of the ascension, Jesus the Christ did not disappear. If you read carefully the epistle and then the Acts of the Apostles, it says simply a cloud hid them from their sight. That's the key. He's still there. He's still here. And as we're going along in our lives and experiencing transformation in our lives, what's happening? The cloud is being removed from our eyes, and the more the cloud is being removed, the more sins be removed, the more we're getting purified, the more we begin to see God at work in everything. The cloud is beginning to remove itself. The door, the iconostasis, is beginning to become what's through. We're able to see through it more and more in a real way in the world. So the Lord has not gone away to rest as if he's tired after all his long life on earth, those 33 years on earth. No, the Lord is doing what now? He's still working in the world. He's still laboring in the world through his Spirit. And he's drawing all things to himself that we may become partakers of the divine nature, as St. Peter teaches. For the Lord said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And that's the event of the ascension. This is what we're celebrating today. And this is the liturgy itself. It's the progressive movement until what St. Paul teaches, we all form that perfect man fully. Christ, he is the perfect man. In Ephesians, this is the ongoing work of the liturgy. Whether it's the divine liturgy, it's orthos, it's vespers, or it's the mysteries of like the sacraments of baptism, the mystery of crowning, the mystery of confession. What is all this going? What's all this doing? We are being formed into the one perfect man, Jesus the Christ. And now the liturgy is flowing the very river of life itself and is gushing forth as a wellspring. And it's causing all of creation to pass over from death into life, pass over into the new heavens and the new earth. So when the angels asked, quote, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up at the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him going up to heaven." End of quote. The ascension, therefore, does not show us some end or finalization. Today's event is the activation of the paschal energy of Christ filling all things. Christ is among us.